Joe, you hurt me.
Right, if you've got a Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 4. Now, this is going to be a first. I'm actually going to be looking at the clock. Well, it's actually got tape going here, clicked, and it's ticking down. Right, Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to read very fast. So what we're going to be looking at today is Acts chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from verse 1 up to 22. So kids, listen along. And by the way, if I mention the word witness, which I will be, I'll be talking about witnessing. Can anybody tell me, any of you younger people, what do we mean when we say we're witnessing to somebody? Yes, spot on. So when I talk about witnessing today, what I'm talking about is speaking to people about, okay? So when I use the word witness, that's what I'm talking about. So, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. Now, these leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus, there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was early evening, they put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of believers now totaled about 5,000, not counting women and children. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved.' The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. 'What should we do with these men?' they asked each other. 'We cannot deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak again in this name.' So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Do you think God wants us to listen to you rather than to him? We cannot stop telling everybody about Jesus
what we have seen and what we have heard. The council then threatened them again, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. May the Lord bless his word to us today. So, there's so much that could be said from that passage. But I have so little time. Nasty, mean elders. But my question, so I want to condense it down and I want to bring to you one thing that spoke to me. And my question for us today is, why do we feel at times unable to speak to others about our faith in Christ? And if we're all honest, we all feel a bit nervous, worried, when we're called to speak about our faith in Christ. John Smirkin there was thinking. And I hold my hands up. That happens to me. When given opportunities to speak about the Lord, we either bottle it, say a few words, and then hope that we haven't offended anybody. Now, am I on my own here?
No.
And I'd like to share a testimony with you today. And I've had permission from the person to share this with you. And it's regarding what I want to talk about today. Now, depending on where we live, seldom would we be put into prison for testifying that we believe in Jesus. Some countries, yes, if they were to speak about believing, let alone walking with Jesus, they could be imprisoned, they could even be killed. But that's not so here. We can go out onto Salford Precinct. We can go into the parks. We can go into Manchester's town centre if we wanted to and speak to people about our faith in Christ, and nothing would really happen. We might even consider going to prison for a period of time if we were guaranteed that 5,000 people would give their lives to Christ. Some would. A lot of people will probably still not do it then. But Peter and John, they performed a miracle in front of people, many people who saw this miraculous healing. And then they were persecuted for actually giving somebody the ability to walk who hadn't walked for 40 years. And they were dragged in front of the council. The same council that condemned Jesus to die. Now picture yourself in that situation. You were brought before a council of very high profile, powerful people, and told, don't ever speak in that name again. How would you react? Okay, I promise I'll never do that again. Some of us would. But not Peter and John that day. Now the council was made up of 70 members. Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. And here they have Peter and John, who was actually preaching against what they believed. And they wanted to know why. And in what path, in what authority did they walk? And Peter and John, emboldened by the Holy Spirit, actually started to preach to them. Wow. Why were the Pharisees, why were the council so threatened by two unschooled men who spoke like prophets? Why? Well, one, they had been with Jesus. And two, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's as simple as that. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they recognized something in these two men. And that frightened them. They weren't considerate. They weren't bothered about the fact that God had performed a miracle through them. They were more interested in their status, in their position, in their power. They weren't bothered about God. But why do we struggle to speak about our faith in Christ? And yes, every time we do talk about Jesus, we run a risk. We run the risk of persecution. We run the risk of rejection. And we run the risk of ridicule. Some people, if we approach them and we want to share our faith with them, will reject us. You don't really believe in that lot, do you? You don't really go to church every Sunday, do you? I expected more from you than that. What about persecution? When we think of persecution, we think of, you know, martyrs in another country who give their life for their faith. But persecution can come in many different guises. If you work, for instance, in an office environment, as soon as you reveal that you're religious or you believe in this faith or that faith, there's always one ready to stick the knife in. Soon as they hear anything on the news about religion, oh yeah, he's one of them over there. Oh, she's a Bible basher. And we don't like that. Nobody wants to be laughed at. But what did Jesus do for you? What did Jesus do for any of us? Surely, even for the sake of one, we should be ready to suffer. What do we do in that situation then? When we feel unable to speak about our faith, what should we do? Samuel, what do you think we should do?
Something.
Well, what we can do, if you feel that way, because there'll be times, if you tell people about Jesus, as I hope you do, and not any of you children, I hope there are situations where you can openly talk about your love for Jesus. After all, he loves you, and all of us, more than our mums and dads. Honestly. He loves us more than our parents ever could. So surely, he's worthy of us saying that we believe in a Lord and Saviour who is better than our mums and dads. What we need to do is get into the scriptures. Get into these passages that speak to us about people like Peter and John. I remember Paul speaking a couple of weeks ago, and he said, rather than boldly go in and spurt out a load of stuff, what we need to do is prepare ourselves to meet with the Holy One, to meet with the Holy Spirit. And He will provide you with everything that you need. Otherwise, we're trying to do it in our own strength and we will fail. That's how Peter and John were able to stand boldly in front of the council, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus had promised them. And the Spirit performed through Peter and John. I want to share something with you now. As I said, I've had permission from Lisa and Aidan, so I'd like to speak about something that happened with Lisa and Aidan. And 3 weeks ago today, it would have been, Lisa approached the elders and asked if we would go into the hospital and pray with her dad. So we discussed it between us, and Paul and myself decided to go on the Wednesday evening. And we were to meet Lisa there and pray with her father. And that was the Sunday, 3 weeks ago. On the Monday and the Tuesday, I'm there, and the little thoughts started to come. What are you going to pray about? What are we going to say? What happens if we pray and nothing happens? We're going to meet Lisa's family. They're not believers. They'll just laugh at us. We're going to be right through it. And these sort of little niggles came in. Then on the Wednesday morning, I decided to open my Bible on what I'm going to be preaching on today. So it was the first time I read it. And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, you wuss, you wimp. You're being asked to go and pray for somebody, and you're thinking all of these negative thoughts. How dare you? And so, that day, I changed my way of thinking, and I started to think upon Peter and John and what they did. And that day I prepared myself, my mind, to go into the hospital and pray whatever the Holy Spirit wanted me to pray. And I did that all that day, and even up until walking to the hospital, I was thinking, Lord, what do you have for me to say? And I met Lisa at the gate as she was walking in. And it was then that I discovered that her dad had terminal cancer. And my first reaction was, oh, no pressure. But then, as I'm walking and I'm listening to Lisa, we met Paul in one of the little gardens, and Lisa sat and she was telling us about Dad and what happened and this and that. And I'm praying, Lord, what do you have for me to say? And immediately came to my mind the words, ask Lisa. So I did. I asked Lisa, what do you want us to pray for? and the look on Lisa's face, I can still see it clearly. And she said, well, I want you to pray for my dad's healing, as you would. But she didn't answer the question that I knew she wanted to ask. She didn't give me the answer that I knew she wanted to give me, that she wanted to ask me to pray for. And that was, which the Holy Spirit revealed to me, she wanted to know where her dad was going. And at that moment in time, the Holy Spirit told me what to pray. And as she's talking, I could feel this, I can only describe it as an excitement building up within me. It was almost as though I was thinking, come on, let's go and do this. I want to do this. So we went to the hospital, and I'd met Jim before, and he was great. He was really high-spirited, and I met Ruby, his wife again, and one of Lisa's sisters. And we were chatting for a while, and then they went down to get a coffee. And we met with Jim, Paul and I, and Lisa in one of the lounges. And I'm sat there, and I'm listening to Lisa talking to her dad. And I'm just watching the two of them. And an overwhelming feeling of, I can only say, compassion and love, as I was looking at Lisa, looking at her dad, and I could see the adoration that she had for her dad, and vice versa. And I can only think it was a touch of the Holy Spirit, how he felt about them. And right then and there, I was given a scripture. And I took hold of Jim's hand, and I just said to him, if Jesus stood before you now, Jim, who would you say he was? And without thinking, Jim just replied, the Christ. And I said, and rightly so. I said, but if Jesus was to ask you who he is to you, what would you say? And he said, the Lord. And then I said to him, but is he Lord of your life? And he said, I'd like him to be. So I says, well, how about then if we just rededicate your life to Christ now? And he said, I'd like that. And we prayed prayer of salvation with him, and he repeated the words, and he repented of his sins, and he accepted the Lord as Saviour again. And then Lisa burst into tears, and Jim burst into tears, and he was embarrassed. He was apologising to us that he was crying. He said, I never cry. And I said, don't worry about that. You know, that's the Holy Spirit working in you, touching you. And then Paul dropped some oil to anoint his head. We prayed for healing for Jim. But I knew that in my heart, the Lord had given me something to say. And I had two choices. I either was obedient to what he was asking me to do, or I wasn't. And it was such a beautiful moment. And he's done so much for my faith, but I want more of them. And I think it's only by those types of moments that we can have the boldness that Peter and John had. You see, Peter had denied the Lord once before, and he wasn't going to do it again. The Pharisees said to him, said to them, do not go out and speak in that name again. And they had the power to hurt the disciples. They had the power to crucify them as they had their Saviour. But Peter said, who do I listen to? You? Men? Or God? And the last words that Jesus had spoken to his disciples was, go therefore into all of the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I have commanded you. And remember this, I am always with you, even to the end of time. And my question now is, who are you listening to? Are you listening to your head? This is where the devil gets in. This is where the enemy strikes. I can't pray for that person. Nothing ever happens. God speaks here in the heart. And your choice is, do I listen to man or do I listen to God? And I hope it's the latter. Let's pray. Kids, I'd like you to stand up first, please. And if there's any Mount Teens, if the children and the Mount Teens will stand up. Don't be shy. The people can only see your back. I just want to pray for the Mount Teens and Kids Church. So just close your eyes and just hold your hands out, as if you're receiving something. Father God, thank you that we at Mount Chapel have so many children and young adults. Thank you for them, Lord, and I pray that you will protect them, because the enemy wants to steal their joy. And we come against that now in the name of Jesus. And we pray a protection over our young folks. They are children, they are innocent children who love Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that they will never have fear in talking about Jesus. When they're playing with their toys, with their friends, Lord, I pray that they will innocently talk about Jesus. And I pray they'll have that for many years to come. So hedge them in, we pray, Lord. Protect them. Send their angels to watch over them. Protect them from what the world has to offer. And I pray that, Lord, over our mountains as well, as they are bombarded every day, every week, every hour by the media. We pray, Lord, you will protect their minds and their souls. You will cover them with your garments of praise. And we pray, Lord, that you will give them opportunities to speak out for Christ. Because your word tells us, Jesus, that those who acknowledge Jesus on earth, he will acknowledge it before his Father in heaven. And for the rest of us, Lord, I pray that you will give us a boldness to speak of our faith in Christ. That you will give us, Lord, an answer when we are questioned as to the reason why we have faith in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that when those opportunities arise, you will give us the boldness to speak forth. And in doing that, Lord, it will cause our faith to grow. And I thank you now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I've done it. It's only just coming up to 5-2. So it can be done. No pressure on you guys in the future.
Check my clock to see that. Huh? 30 minutes, 25 seconds.